Practice number one, not quite in the books for Ohio State, but the open viewing period is. So let's get into some snap judgments that are brought to you by Byers Auto. That's Bill Landis, Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward, Ohio State. Spring practice is underway. Bill, what's the first thing you learned?
Sonny Styles is with the linebackers.
I had a feeling you might start there.
First guy I kind of clocked when I walked in there. That just happens that the linebackers are kind of right in front of us when we walked in the door. And, yeah, he's there. So I don't know, like, what that means exactly in terms of, like, depth chart stuff. When they did break up into very early on in practice, they did, like, called a formation period. It's kind of lined up one offense, two defense, and vice versa. Sonny was with the two defense, I guess, with Arvell Reese at linebacker. And C.J. Hicks and Cody Simon were the one defense linebackers. That doesn't mean anything now, but, I mean, Sonny is not going to be, like, anointed a starting linebacker on day one of spring practice, but it does seem like that move has taken shape.
It did a couple drills early on where it was three abreast of the linebackers, and that was a pretty impressive-looking group there with C.J. Hicks, Cody Simon, and Sonny Styles. So not the end of that conversation, but it is certainly a step in the direction that we thought they were going to take.
And the important thing is that, like, what we initially assumed is that he'd be with the linebackers, and then the next segment of the practice he'd move over with the safeties, but he didn't. And that, I think, is at least telling on a day when there's not really a lot to glean from what we were able to see today other than who looks like they put in time in the weight room. And then you get a little bit of sense of the quarterbacks and maybe the way they throw the ball on air, which Devin Brown looked good. Will Howard was a little inconsistent. I thought Lincoln Kienholz looked good. And then you have what seems to be a divide between Julian Sain and Aaron Noland in that first group. I mean, when they split up, it was Nolan going to work with the walk-ons and Sain staying with the returning guys. So that is at least interesting. Doesn't mean anything long-term. Maybe not, but it's what caught my eye. And then I'm enamored by Arvell Reese. And I don't know what the role is for him, but just the way he looks and the way that he moves is very different than most linebackers we've seen here in the last decade or so. Probably since like the Raekwon McMillan, Darren Lee, Jerome Baker era. Mm-hmm. And I'm just a little, I'm having these dancing thoughts of C.J. Hicks, Arvell Reese, and Sonny Styles on the field at the same time. And it's making me really, really yearn for NCAA football to get here.
All your thoughts dance.
Yeah, dance. Yeah.
It seems like Ohio State's going to be just fine at linebacker. I think it's one day, they didn't have pads on, but that's a bunch of athletes running around.
It's a very good-looking group. There's Gabe Powers in there, too. Like, long, athletic, rangy kind of guy. There's four or five there I think you can feel reasonably good about. And I'm excited to see how it plays out over the course of spring to, like, see. I like Cody Simon's going, like, the stalwart there, right? But how things evolve around him I think is going to be really interesting.
So when we get snap judgments and a few open windows.
Who are they presented by?
They're brought to you by Byers Auto.
Okay. That's what I thought. I was just making sure.
They're small sample sizes that we're trying to make outsized conclusions based off. But putting them in comparison to previous practices, I thought this was the most accurate, consistent, impressive version of 33 Devin Brown that I've seen. He led the line. They had a drill where they were throwing, you know, accuracy into the net, the three little squares, and like everybody's got those on every field across America. I thought he was throwing some absolute dots, probably the best of anybody in that drill. I didn't chart them all. I'm not supposed to do that, so I didn't. But even when they were throwing on air, I thought that he was at a different level than I had seen him before in practices. So that's worth mentioning because you guys both said on Monday, it's like, oh, every time you hear him talk, you can talk yourself into him winning the quarterback job more. It's the action today that has me closer to than I've been before that, like, hey, yeah. I know Will Howard's going to have other opportunities. This was his first time in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center wearing an Ohio State jersey. But at least if I'm talking about what I saw with my own eyes today, Devin Brown had the best day that I can remember from him.
He looks settled, which I think is probably not how he looked for much of the time we saw him last year. And, like, it's routes on air, so, like, how much do you make of it? But there was a consistency, I thought, with him, like, kind of driving that ball to the outside where, like, last year you'd watch it and, like, one be really good, one be up here, one be down on the ground, and they were all kind of like where they needed to be on all of the throws that we did see. They were all kind of intermediate, the shorter throws. We didn't really see anybody kind of let it loose and throw it down the field. They booted us out, unfortunately, right before 7-on-7 started. Interesting timing there. But I agree with you, right? It's not to make too much of a small sample size, but if at any point last year you watched Devin Brown and thought he looked like a little jittery, I thought he, like, kind of carried himself like QB1 on the first day of spring ball.
Yeah, and those intermediate throws are the important ones.
Yeah, for sure.
The short ones are easy to make, and the long ones are once every 10, 12 shots down the field. And those 10 to 12, 10, 15 to yard passes are the ones where you make your money at as quarterback at Ohio State. And you certainly saw him being comfortable throwing to the right. We didn't see anything to the left.
And, yeah.
You never know how that changes things. I mean, if you look at J.J. McCarthy's sheet, it changes things pretty considerably, right? So
it turns you into a first-round pick.
Yeah, so we'd like to see I'd like to see the development there, but we'll see it over the next couple of weeks. And as I said on Monday, and as you know, like, it's about a guy who's just confident. And he went through so much a year ago, Devin Brown did, that I can't imagine any of the stuff is going to bother him like it did before, you know, or really get into his head the way it did before. So I think that's a really positive first step. And then for me, the other position group where I'm just like, oh boy, that is, wow, is cornerback. Like, it's so good that, like, we forgot about Calvin Simpson-Hunt, essentially, in all the discussions. Like, that was the number two ranked corner in the country a year ago coming out of high school. Like, he's pretty good. Jermaine Matthews ascended because he was an early enrollee last year and Calvin wasn't. But then you throw in Lorenzo Styles, and then you throw into the mix with Miles Lockhart and Aaron Scott and Bryce West. And that is a really deep and really talented group, and an incredible turnaround from what Tim Walton had 18 months ago in that room. Like,
it's crazy.
Insane.
Yeah. It's set up to be the best group in the country this year and for the foreseeable future if everything stays on the track. Like, this, again, is day one. But in terms of raw physical athleticism, I'm not sure how much you could ask for from those young guys. And then with the veterans, you already know what you have in Denzel Burke and Davis Nygbenosin, and you've seen a
Jordan
taste
Hancock.
Of that.
I mean, and Jordan, Bill brought, pointed out earlier to me, Jordan Hancock was working outside, and Jermaine Matthews was working in the slot in the early parts of the practice. Yep. So, again, we don't know how much to glean from day one, but, like, those are interesting little chess pieces.
Bill, what about, I don't know, the offensive line, perhaps?
I did watch them a little bit,
okay.
As you might imagine. We had a lot of conversation about where Josh Fryer would be on day one. The answer is right tackle, which is, I guess, not terribly surprising. It was kind of just like everybody who played last year was sort of in the same spot they were at the end of the season, which means Carson Hinsman was like the first team, in air quotes, center on day one. Josh Simmons, Donovan Jackson, certainly on the left side. And then Luke Montgomery was at right guard, from what we could glean from watching them line up a little bit. It was most of what we saw was individual drill, which, like, they don't really line up as a five-man unit, but that early period where they did kind of like walk through some stuff, that was the first team line: Fryer, Montgomery, Hinsman, Jackson, and Simmons. And then the second team line, starting on the right side, was Tegra Shabola, Enoch Vamahi, Seth McLaughlin, the Alabama transfer, Austin Saraveld at left guard, and Zem Bohofsky at left tackle, which I thought was interesting. I imagine maybe it won't look different on Thursday when we come in here later this week, but I think, like, when we come back later in the spring, it'll be like practice like 10 or something like that. I'd imagine that'll look much different, but for the time being, it's like the veterans are kind of getting those first reps.
Yeah, I think it was probably a get through the first practice, get through the first week, go where you're familiar sort of opportunity for Ohio State. We'll see. There was, again, part of me that I talked about that expected to see Josh Fryer there just to get the ball rolling. But, you know, it wouldn't be that dramatic of a change, I guess, to see, since both Luke Montgomery and Josh Fryer have essentially repped in both spots, that they just do that during a practice. I mean, it's probably, if we read anything into it at all, that Luke Montgomery got that opportunity with the ones on day one, certainly bodes well for him, but by no means is this thing a finished product.
No, I mean, again, we all fully expect that Seth McLaughlin will end up being the starting center for this team. This is day one. This is putting the guys out there that know what they're doing. It's why you have, you know, players who, like Quinshon Judkins, who led the SEC in rushing the last 2 years, is not ahead of Travion Henderson. You don't have Seth McLaughlin, who's played 25 games ahead of Carson Hinsman. You don't have, you know, any of the transfers.
Will Kaczmarek.
And Caleb Downs and Will Kaczmarek. I mean,
Caleb Downs. There were two.
Okay, so there was two of them. But offensively, those key cog positions are a little different, I think. And you want to, you know, for guys like McLaughlin, guys like Will Howard, guys like Quinshon Judkins, it's like, here's what we do here, and this is what you have to do. So, and none of those guys have lost their black stripe. I can't imagine it'll be long.
Yeah.
We've seen Caleb Downs wearing the black stripe. It's kind of funny to me.
I think you were just dazzled by the fact wearing an Ohio State uniform.
I did. I told you guys, I'm like, I just can't believe Caleb Downs plays for Ohio State. Like,
I mean, there was a feel, it's like, oh, Caleb Downs, Chip Kelly's here.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. It's like,
Jeremiah Smith looks
Yeah, there was during an individual drill, Chip Kelly was going over to dap up Quinshon Judkins, and I was like, "What parallel universe are we in?"
Yeah.
You said Berm or Bill, I don't know, both of you maybe, just catching the eye, the guys who had great winter workouts. Who was the first one for you, Berm?
Again, I go back to Arvell Reese. I just like the kid is a physical monster. I thought Ian Moore looked really, really good. Like he looked like a college offensive lineman. Obviously, my eyes generally go towards the freshmen and the kids that are coming in off the recruiting trail. But I thought Edrick Houston looked slimmed down from the last time I saw him and maybe a little taller. He's obviously going to take some time to wrap it in the ones and twos. But, like, he's too good to keep off the field this year. He's going to see the field. Will Smith, for a kid that didn't play much or at all last year and was hurt basically all through spring and then was we called him a healthy scratch in most games. I think he had some recurring issue that, like, he was ahead of Tywan Malone in drills. Like, he looked good. And then there's just the other guys. Like, Carnell Tate looks much different to me.
Did I say that he could take everyone on the team?
I'm just trying to think. I mean, I could run down the roster. Who can I talk about that he hasn't mentioned? Yeah, I don't know.
He's going Anthony Schlegel style since we saw him. Were you impressed with Schlegel?
Schlegel looked awesome. Yeah.
Ryan Day looked like Dark Ryan. Yeah. Like he had all the black on. I don't know what that was about.
Johnny Cash.
Man in black.
CEO.
To match his beard. I don't know, man. It's fun to just be around football. Like you walk in there and you're like, looks like football, smells like football, sun's shining, it's beautiful out. Yeah. Like, okay, you guys go.
Who's left?
I actually, like, Will Kaczmarek caught my eye. Like, big dude. Like, and we saw him out of uniform when we did the interviews, I guess it was, like, almost 2 months ago now. But he was, like, kind of, like, sitting down. You didn't, like, get a feel for, like, just how kind of a big and broad he is. Looks like a guy who's ready to roll at Ohio State and, like, moved really well, too. So, like, it's not surprising to me, I guess, that he's, like, looks like he's the first team tight end right now because we all assumed he would be when they brought him in. But I guess you wonder a little bit like a guy from the MAC, like, are you physically ready for it? And he certainly seemed to be.
Jeremiah Smith made another guy. Made a catch.
No, good. You did the whole roster.
Yeah. During routes on air that he had, it was low and back behind him. And he just spun around and like caught it 2 feet off the ground. And it was one of the most impressive things I saw all day. I try so hard to soft pedal some of the true freshman stuff because Berm mashes the gas.
I believe the word is poo-poo. Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't try and do that.
The optimism.
I try and take a sensible, pragmatic approach, but I'm afraid I might not be able to do that with Jeremiah Smith after just one day.
Welcome,
Doug is back. Doug is back here sending messages to our subtext subscribers. I'm sure one of those is about Jeremiah Smith. I'd imagine, right?
Now.
It is.
the kid is so different. And I was trying to keep an eye on just those freshmen, those five-star freshmen, to see, like, sometimes you get a guy with that many accolades and all that hype, and they come in and look a little underwhelming. Like, oh, really? I don't know if I see that. But when you look at Jeremiah Smith and you look at Edrick Houston, like, you see the difference. Why those guys are so sought after, why Ryan Day was knee buckling at the podium on December 17th when he got the calls about those two. Like, they are difference makers, and you have to have those types of kids. And you kind of feel bad because there are the guys like Bryson Rogers looked like he bulked up pretty good in this offseason. And obviously,
Jaden Ballard's upper body is filling out.
But your eyes are all, it's the shiny new thing. You're like, look at that.
Well, then when you make a catch like that,
he's just so different. Like, Jeremiah Smith is not just a five-star receiver prospect. He is the best receiver prospect that's ever been ranked by the national recruiting agencies. Like, there's never been one ranked higher than him. So, like, the expectations are off the charts. But, like, this kid is... He has the potential.
I love when he takes inside jokes that haven't been on the channel yet.
Yes.
And just squeezes them right in there.
So good. And, like, I don't know what that even means for this season or the spring, but, like, if he just does what he's supposed to do, it's impossible for him to not be a first-round pick. And, like, if he just
that's
does
the top of the church.
If he just does what he's supposed to do, right? Like, that's the challenge that comes with being that guy in a college town. Like, there's going to be distractions thrown your way, Jeremiah. Can you drop those and just catch footballs?
Wow. We went there.
Deep.
Love that. There's going to be a lot more coverage coming.
Not that he's like, I'm going to be clear. I'm not saying he's been like distraction prone. I'm just saying like, avoid it. You know, like the plague.
Hasn't he been around that for like the last 3 years?
Yeah. But, you know, stuff like that follows you around when you're that type of person.
Oh.
Anyone else that we're not talking about? Anything else?
I think we're pulling right here.
We should just let you keep going.
Dude, I'm just so glad football's back. I'm just so happy.
It takes us.
So happy football's back.
We're going to get a little bit more of that berm juice on the podcast daily. We'll break down what we hear from Ryan Day and Chip Kelly on that show, because we've already covered snap judgments with our practice observations from viewing period number one in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Thanks for joining us. He's pointing. He wants more.
Ryan Day and Chip Kelly will be live streaming on the podcast at about 11 o'clock, so not long after this is on the
Very timely for this video. That's Bill Landis and Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. We'll see y'all later.